right. This is the first conference of the second month of the Creative Entrepreneur Success Club. We've had some technical problems, and I apologize. Rehearsal went great, though. Anyway, I want to start out making sure I can still hear people. We're in Q&A mode, so let's start with a couple celebrations. If you have something to share that went right this week, I really would love to hear it. Just yell it out, because there's just a couple of us right now.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sweetie. Yep.
Okay, so I'll give mine. I finished a mural yesterday. That was a big project, so, and it went fairly smoothly despite the rain.
Oh, wow. In the rain? You were painting it in the rain? Obviously, it's a mural.
Yeah, off and on, yeah.
Oh, wow. Terrific.
But I'm glad I got done.
Yeah, sounds, I bet you are. And what about you, Ms. Kim? Not to pressure you or anything. Oh, I can't hear you. Something's going on with your, and that's your end, I think. I suddenly lost you. Can you hear me, Kim? Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. I think Kim might be having some technical problems. So, not that you can't still talk. I haven't muted anybody. It's just and I think I hear you really well, Liam. I hear the rattling. Anyway, today I wanted. No, that's fine. And welcome whoever just tried to get back in here. Who just joined the call?
Sarah.
Sarah, yay! Hi, Sarah. Good to have you. How'd the week go for you?
It was really great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took 50 classes that I've been not taking for a long time, so I felt very accomplished.
Bravo. Give us an example of an action you took that you haven't been taking for a long time.
Okay. I've been meaning to set up a venue for an intro to a workshop, and I've been meaning to do it for a very long time, and I didn't want to tell my accountability partner that I didn't do it for another week, so I did it to avoid the embarrassment on our call this morning, and it literally took me to reach out.
So, Kim, don't you, how powerful are you?
Oh, right, yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And Kim, I can hear you loud and clear now. It makes me so happy. What about you? How about you? How's it going for you?
Well, I got through to 4 out of 5 of the follow-up calls that I needed to make.
Bravo.
And I am in, and one of them is a done deal. I've got an event in November that I'm going to participate in, and
terrific.
I'm in conversation with 3 others.
So, wow.
Yeah.
So how was that experience for you, knowing that you had to call at least 5 people? And you made 4, which is damn good. But how was it for you pushing through that?
Well, it wasn't as awful as I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, good.
So I felt good about that. I have a lot more left to do, but I was pleased that I just kind of pushed through. And also, I will say that I didn't take no for an answer with one of these women.
Oh, really?
That was good.
What did that look like? Not taking no for an answer.
Well, she got back to me with the usual, I passed your stuff on to my superiors and blah, blah, and we'll be in touch. And so then I got back to her and I said, look, she and then she asked me about my fee. And it's a school system. So I said, I really want to get my tool into the school community. So I'm willing to do something negotiable, and I didn't name a number, but I said
right.
I'm willing to to negotiate a small stipend in order to get this off the ground. When can I take you out to coffee? So.
Good for you. How proactive. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific.
That's very ballsy of me.
Yeah, that's very ballsy. Yeah, and facing your fear. I mean, that's terrific.
Yeah.
I'm doing something hideous now. I'm calling all my old clients and letting them know what's going on in terms of the Creative Entrepreneurs Success Club. And it's scary to keep picking up the phone. And there's so many excuses not to do it.
Oh,
it's
God,
amazing.
Yes.
But right. Yeah.
Those dirty dishes just keep calling my name.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to pick up the phone.
Also, the idea that, this isn't worth my time. It's not worth it.
Yeah. It's awful. It's painful. It's not as painful in the doing as it is in the anticipation. So.
Absolutely. And it's so easy to be fooled. It's like that devil on your shoulder. So that's a really good segue into what we're talking about in terms of numbers. It's just, to an extent, it's just paint by numbers. You just, you set a certain numbers, you set numbers to hit. You probably all got the handouts, which we're going to look at now. If you're at a computer, you can see them on the screen. And I'm going to talk through this chart here. And the reason it's called 5-4-3-2-1-1-1, as you may have guessed, is because that number pertains to the number of times you're going to enact each action, all right? And it's because I find people just get totally lost in terms of their business and having a framework for getting it out there. And as long as you're doing, I've often said this, as long as you're doing at least five things, if you have at least five marketing activities up in the air at all times, you're gonna have business. You're gonna pretty much keep your business going. My coach, Monica, was great because she came up with this particular breakdown of those things that I want to share with you. I'm going to... Oh, you can unmute yourselves any time, so that's actually good. But I'm going to go through, and then I'm going to take questions. So the first thing is social media. Well, so three times a week if you're just starting out, or five times a week if you're, you know, really able to go at it. Newsletter, if you don't have a newsletter going out, you should get all your friends and family on your list. And you should be able to start with a couple hundred people who won't mark you as spam. Everybody you know, basically. And be getting a newsletter out but at least twice a month, work up to four times a month, but I'm, you know, twice a month I think is great. Sales conversations, like what Kim was doing last week, having, you know, at least, you did great. You had four. I mean, the standard is 1 to 3 sales conversations a week. And that means you have to figure out how, you have to be asking for sales conversations, of course, at least probably twice to three times that many. So that's almost something I think should be on this chart. Networking events, whatever that, however that pertains to your industry, it could be going to a show. It doesn't have to be like BNI or something, but getting out and among the people at least once a week, shooting for two, is important. And some kind of a class, a workshop, a presentation, one or two times a month to frame yourself as an expert in what you're doing. And this is an interesting one. I haven't talked about JV partners yet, joint venture partners. A joint venture partner is anybody you're doing something with that is mutually beneficial. For instance, they may have a really huge mailing list and you're trying to grow your list. And so they interview you, so they have content for their site in exchange for maybe giving you the list of the number of people who listened, or you could negotiate something, right? It could be you collaborate in creating an event, but you need to meet with people to come up with these great things. at least once a week, have lunch with somebody. And then once per quarter, something with a really wide reach, whether it's you're going to launch a YouTube video, have a teleseminar. I mean, I'm thinking, Kim, I don't see why the card game can't be virtual. You know, if maybe you could create a webinar format for that. Shooting once every 3 months. So if you're looking at that marketing checklist and you're doing something every day, you try to, you know, and the thing is, you're not doing something every day in each area, right? The social media, that would be great, but three times, if you get three checks, you have achieved your goal, right? So I'm going to go into Q&A mode again, actually unmute. You're all unmuted now, and I want to know, does anybody have any questions about this system?
Well, with social media, can you give me some details? Like, how would you use social media 3 to 5 times a week?
Well, if you have I would recommend having a Facebook page for your business. I mean, you can make your regular Facebook page, I suppose, your business page. I think that, you know, but I think that, because actually I think it's important to have both, because people like to know who they're doing business with, right? And that's the thing about networking in general. It's not necessarily all business. You're developing relationships. So you have a page for your business, and that's where you're posting 3 to 5 times a week. And on the regular page, you know, you can share the posts that you put on your business page. You can post what you had for breakfast or something, I don't know, or something that you did that was fun or thought you had on your personal page, just to cultivate a sense of the person behind the business. And frankly, I think you have to – people can find you if it's an open group. But you can't invite – it's hard to get people onto your page unless – well, you're not, it's going to be a public page, so I'm babbling. I apologize. It's a public page, so anybody can find you. With a private page like this one, you have to be my friend to even be able to get into it. So scratch that. But I think you know, I don't know if you've been watching my page, but first of all, Liam, do you have a page for your business separate from your personal page?
It's in the works.
It's in the works. Okay, don't be too much of a perfectionist about it. Just get it up there. And I would say start with one platform. Like, where do you think your tribe hangs out? Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, where do you think your peeps are?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there one platform you're more comfortable with than the others?
Well, if I focus on my Facebook page, those are primarily friends, and I mean, friends are helpful.
Yeah.
But they're not clients. So well, I'm not reaching the right group.
I hear what you're saying, but it's just like with the newsletter. They're where you start. Mm-hmm. And I tend to think that for creative businesses, Facebook is a really is a good place to start. You know, you invite all your friends to like your page, and then their friends are going to see that they liked your page, and they might get interested in your page. You can also get your friends to share your page to their friends. That's the whole 6 degrees of separation thing at work, okay? And the more you keep the page active with interesting content, the more shareable it will be, okay? So, I mean, you might, and, you know, a post doesn't have to be verbal. It could just be one of your paintings. It could be your latest sign, right?
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Like, say you are a painter.
Yeah.
For social media, you just want to keep putting up images of the work that you're doing and your focus to get the word out.
Right.
So people, you know, say you draw bunnies, so people know, oh, I know this guy draws bunnies because he posts stuff all the time.
That sounds right to me. Or, you know, you could do, once in a while, you could do something whimsical, like if you pass by a sign that has a lot of misspellings on it, you could photograph that you know, and post it and say, see, this is an example of what not to do. Use spell check. You know what I mean? You can, yeah. If you keep your eyes open for stuff that will be amusing as well, and also get, as well as getting your images out there. All right?
Right, right, okay.
So anybody, is that, does that answer your question?
Uh-huh.
Great. Yeah. So I know, Sarah, I have you for a limited time, I think. So do you have any questions about this?
Not right now. I'm
That's cool.
Driving, so I'm concentrating on listening.
Oh, good. Yes, don't get in an accident during the call. That would be just, I'd hate to have that on the recording. Welcome, Lauren Astor.
Hello. Can you
nice
hear me?
To have you. I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Yeah. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. So we just went through the marketing checklist, the 5-4-3-2-1-1-1 method, and you can go back and listen to that. And but I'm just taking questions about it. If you happen to peruse it and there's anything you want to ask, go ahead. Or does anyone else?
Let me see. You would recommend, this is Kim. Hi,
yes.
Lauren, by the way.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. So would you recommend a newsletter 4 times a month? That's like once a week? That seems like a lot to me.
And it might be. It might be too much for you. You know, this is also like not everybody needs 2 aspirins. Some people just need 1.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it's not, just understand, this is, you adapt it to what makes sense to your business. My business, it makes sense. I feel if I get up to once a week as a coach, that would be good. I don't know about your business, but I would shoot
right.
for 2 times a month and see how it goes.
So, and I'm picturing a newsletter like a MailChimp kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Start with whatever's cheap. Start with free. Yeah. I use MailChimp.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
And you, but I guess it's like finding something new to say twice a week or twice a month. Yeah.
Right. Well,
so it's a consistency, but I really don't want to, I don't want the people who, you have to gain permission through MailChimp. I don't want people to get bugged and have to be removed. You know, I mean, email is a great thing, but it can be too much of a good thing. And I think I'm talking to people who are feeling a little overwhelmed by
right.
the amount of email they get.
Right. Well, you know, that's why I say, first of all, you have a mailing list. I know that. And you may, you know, sometimes you may piss people off a little bit, but you're, you know, I mean, the fact is, I think more and more people understand they can just unsubscribe if they don't. If they don't want to save it.
I understand.
Also, you know, a newsletter can be just very, it could just be an image. It could be an image. It can be very short. It could be an opt-in to look at your website, and if they visit the website, they get a free gift, or, you know, you get, come up with some, you know, that's something we can talk about later too, is coming up with some free offers that you can have.
Yeah. That would be a good thing to get into.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I get my cues from you guys, frankly, so this is very helpful to me as well. But it shouldn't take you more than an hour to write a newsletter. You shouldn't be trying to format it as you go. You should just be doing it like in a document, right?
Okay. Yeah, and, the template, and you fill in the stuff in the template.
Well,
yeah.
I know if you're doing it within MailChimp, that's true. But even that is tedious. I really recommend getting in the habit of not creating your content in MailChimp, because then you can just plug and play from week to week into your MailChimp format, and it saves a lot of time. Ultimately, if you are getting to the point where you can get some help, once you get someone who can give you an intern a couple hours a week, get them to format it. It should happen. You should be able to just whip it out and not in easy breezy. Mm-hmm. The feel of the, and I guarantee that if the feel of the newsletter is somewhat easy breezy, it won't be as burdensome to people to read.
I got that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
So that's my suggestion. I mean, if you're afraid to be a bother, it's gonna get in the way of being in business.
Yeah.
The fact is, you are creating value. You have something that you know makes a difference. And if you're not getting in front of the people who need it, that's selfish.
Oh, well, that's an interesting take.
Don't be selfish. It's selfish to nurture your fears and try to stay safe by staying invisible.
Oh, okay.
So get newsletter going. Okay.
Okay, Rati.
Yeah, and again, you're welcome. Absolutely. And again, like Liam, even though what you're doing isn't visual art, sometimes it's just a really cool image that you saw that you have in a newsletter, you know, along with whatever events may be happening. It doesn't have to be chock full of verbiage. Okay. So... all right. Anybody, any last questions on the marketing checklist? Because I like to have something for everybody. And a lot of the people in the Creative Entrepreneurs Club are starting for the first time to write a novel. Many people are actually endeavoring to write a fourth novel. Or, you know, they create their own work and... I think it's important to take a look at what stops you from doing that on a systematic, consistent basis. So that's why I wanted to jump into 10 ways to unblock your muse. And frankly, if you have problems writing a newsletter, this could also be very handy. So I'm going to go ahead, run through these, and once again, after that, I will take some questions. So nobody's rattling around too badly, so I don't think I'll mute everybody. If I need to, I will, but let's see how it goes. So 10 ways to unblock your muse. Schedule satellite time. Schedule satellite time before and after anything you dread. You wanna schedule. Let me see. I do want to mute everybody. I think just not to be mean, but because I hear a little background. Yeah. So stay on mute until I call for questions. Thanks. I still hear that wiggling. Maybe there's somebody who, for some reason, I can't mute. I think Kim, I have you on more than one. Let me try to mute you. And there's somebody else I still have background noise from, but. I'm not going to worry about it. So when I say satellite time, I mean when you think of a satellite going around a planet, the planet is the task at hand, right? So actually, you want to create satellite time to move into the process of doing the project and get yourself into a creative framework, okay? And I often recommend, and so primarily it's satellite time to get into it. So if you think something is going to take an hour, give yourself 2 hours, right? Sometimes people, you know, if it means getting into the studio doing some work, sometimes people need to block out 3 hours. And if they get 45 minutes of really productive creating out of it, they still have a right to feel good about that. The second tool that I find handy, if you're really feeling stopped or blocked, is to go back to an old newsletter or go back to the last thing you wrote or the last thing you painted and just reread it. Reread it, right? Or you can start copying it, retyping it. Now, if you are picking up where you left off with something, rereading it and then continuing can often be very helpful. So I call that retracing your steps. Where was I? Going back into it so that you create, you get back into the feeling of what you were trying to express. Now, that kind of leads me in terms of creating a feeling to music. Music is very powerful. It's like food. It affects people on a cellular level. I have my certain things, certain music, no matter how I feel, if there's something I really don't want to deal with, I'll put that particular music on. And it is amazing how the resistance will lift, right? Sometimes we procrastinate out of a sense of not wanting to get it wrong. So there's procrastination is often a smoke screen for perfectionism, right? I don't even want to start because I know this is going to suck. Then it's just about making a mess and not even looking at it afterwards. Quick and dirty prototype, you know, just a vomit draft, whatever you want to call it. And also going at it with the intention that no one else will ever see it but you. And you might not even want to look at it. You might decide, I'm going to make a mess. I'm going to just type. I'm going to write this. And, oh, God, I know that sucked. I'm not going to reread it. But now I feel warmed up. Now I'm ready to begin. Okay? Sometimes what you do making a mess is brilliant. And that's just icing on the cake. Some people use a creative ritual. So I know a creativity coach, Eric Maisel, actually recommends before walking into your studio, getting a bowl and cracking an egg cracking an egg inside the bowl. So you have broken the egg. You've commenced. And then once you are feeling distracted by something or feeling like quitting or just the break consists of stirring the egg, beating the egg. This somehow sends a message, I guess, to the unconscious that allows you to move back into what it is you were doing. And then I suppose you can reward yourself with an omelet. I don't know. But some kind of creative ritual. Maybe it's a candle. I don't, you know. The sixth is just writing your way in. Whether you're a writer or not, I do credit Kenya Cameron's Morning Pages with becoming a playwright because it started with 4 years of waking up in the morning and just free associative writing, three one-sided pages. Just getting the hand moving. It's important to do it with your hand. Not free associative handwriting, I should actually add here. Because there is an immediacy. It's almost like talking out loud. If you're a verbal processor, using your hand to write that way is really going to help you work it through, whatever it is. I don't know who it is that's, if everybody could star six themselves, somebody is not mute. For some reason, I don't have the power to mute them. Oh, and then star six yourself again. Okay, better, better, better. Bravo. Okay, that's better. So a free associative writing, the seventh. Give yourself a deadline. Well, that goes without saying. You got to have a deadline. And if you need some teeth, make it a deadline to show it to somebody. You know, but then again, with nascent work, with really early work, you must be careful who you show it to. You must know your audience. That's critical. Because you show it to the wrong people, and that could be very self-destructive. You can also instruct people how you want it viewed. You may simply want them to talk about what strikes them about it, what they like about it, and say no more, right? But giving yourself a deadline to show the work in progress is very powerful. And number eight, do the creative work first. You know, Kim was talking about how interesting the dishes are. When there's something you need to compose that you don't feel like doing, or it's really hard to immerse yourself, even if you love the creative work, it can be hard to immerse yourself because there's a certain amount of anxiety that comes up. Well, don't let yourself off the hook. In terms of your schedule, we're freelancers on this call. do the creative work first. That schedule that first thing in your day, the thing that is going to use that part of your brain, right? The ninth is, distractions, email, Facebook, LinkedIn, all that stuff, television. You may even need to fast for a day. Just unplug. I noticed that, it was interesting. Kim, actually, and I, years ago, used to write longhand letters to each other. I noticed that stopped after the advent of email. So it's really important to unplug, because I maintain that a certain degree of our creativity gets hijacked by the media, by electromagnetic energy. It's very important. Whether you're unplugging just while you're working, or whether you unplug an hour before you work. I mean, they say you shouldn't even, going to sleep, you're supposed to unplug an hour before. So I highly recommend that. And number 10, don't feel like you have to go A to B, right? If you're a right brain thinker, you're not a left brain thinker. It doesn't have to be linear. If you're writing something, you may be really moved to write the ending. And that might be the best thing you can do. There may be one piece of the work that you're really pulled towards focusing on. When I write a play, it is a collage at first. It is a collage, and then I have to create the structure kind of like a clothesline. And you start taking the different pieces of the collage and putting them in the order that tells the story. And then once you decide on the story you want to tell, sometimes that's at the point you have to kill your darlings. But you need to make those darlings in the first place. Okay? So start wherever you feel like. All right? So, all right, at this juncture, I'm going to unmute everybody. And any questions, comments, thoughts about any of this? I think I unmuted everybody. Maybe not. I don't know. I thought I did. Maybe I have to do it one by one.
Is this something...
Yeah, go for it, Liam.
Okay. Is this something you wanted to fill out every month?
Oh, are you talking... You're talking about the creativity stuff, the unblocking stuff? Or the marketing matrix?
No, I was looking at unblocking the use, but
it's just a toolbox, okay? If you feel stuck, go read this and see if something strikes your fancy, right?
Okay.
Because there are so many different kinds of block, right? So we can't, getting out of it there is no one way to get out of it and proceed with your work. You may need something different every time. So good question. It is not a checklist. Anybody else?
Rati, this is Kim.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued by this creative ritual.
Mm. Uh-huh.
I find rituals to be very powerful.
Yeah.
As long as they're intentional and yeah.
Right.
So, where is there? You had mentioned some reference or something. Is there something written out there about creative rituals?
Well, I just remember from a class I had with Eric, him talking about the egg ritual, which I thought was very interesting. But I am sure if you just Google creative rituals.
Right.
And you know what? Would you do me a favor and post it on the Facebook page? If you find a list that's really interesting, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, And personally, I'll tell you, find something, and it may inspire you to make up your own, because I find usually the best recipe is the one that's based on something else, right?
Oh,
something
yeah.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. So good. Anybody else? Questions about the different ways to unblock? Or maybe you have one I didn't mention that you'd like to share, which would be great. No, but okay. And I'm assuming that Sarah and whoever the wire, I think that's Liam, muted themselves because they needed to. They're noisy. But if so, I'm going to.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, good. Just making sure.
I'll mute myself again.
Yeah. So great. Now, do you have any questions? Anybody? The floor is now open. We've got about 10, you know, we've got over 10 minutes left. Anything you want to bring to the table that you'd like to be coached on for a few minutes? Questions can have to do with anything. And the more specific, the better.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Well, one thing that happened this week was I was contacted, I'll just sort of say they're a talent agency, and they pair me up with, like, oh, this place needs a painting done. But they stop short. They're like, you need to have liability insurance. And I forget the word. But I was wondering, have you or does anyone here, are you familiar with liability insurance or that type of stuff? And would you suggest, like, oh, check out Progressive or blah, blah, blah? Because I want to go through these steps to get the insurance so that I can get the job. But since I wasn't aware that I needed it,
right?
It's all new to me.
You know, that's a good thing to post in the group. I would say post it in, you know, I mean, that's something if you – it's interesting. This company that requires it might even have a recommendation in that way. Do you have something, Kim? Go for it.
You might want to start with an online resource first. There's a place called LegalZoom I've pretty helpful. I don't know. I've not looked up liability insurance, but they seem to have great templates for other kinds of things, and you could at least get a place to start there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one specific was I had to have workers' comp.
Yeah.
In case if scaffolding falls on my head or something, you know, I had to.
Makes sense.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's more of you know, I don't have liability insurance at this point. I have a really good contract. I think it's important to have a relationship with a lawyer. Maybe have a couple consultations, because usually you can have a free consultation with a lawyer, and you can ask questions like that. And it's really, I think it's important to have a lawyer in your back pocket anyway, when push comes to shove.
Yeah, I mean, what I realized from the whole experience is, you know, working with galleries and artists, they're just like, yeah, go ahead and do it, and you get paid, and that's it. But now that I'm working with a business, say West Elm, that was the one who called me, or Anthropology, the big businesses, you have to be insured, you know, and there's a lot of it's a lot more involved.
Do you have any other friends? Do you have any other friends who are already doing the kind of work you're getting into?
I did take a class with a. You know, my professor did sign painting, so maybe I could contact him.
That makes sense.
Get some suggestions.
Because that's probably an easy answer. If he, you know, he probably, if he's in the field doing that kind of work, he probably has that kind of insurance himself, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else?
This is Kim again.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. The number one thing on 10 ways to unblock. Yeah. A little fuzzy on the satellite time before and after the work.
Okay.
I got distractions on my end during that one.
Oh, okay, sure. You know, I might even, you know, before and after, the most important is to have, it could be on either end of the work, but basically, if you, I guess if you think it's going to take you an hour and you find it's really hard to get into something, give yourself 3 hours, an hour before, an hour after, right? So that you can ease into it. Have your ritual. Have a cup of coffee. You know, do something pleasurable. And then get to it, right? But you don't want to book things back to back. Say, okay, I'm going to give myself an hour to write this, and then I'm going to have a meeting, you know, as soon as the clock strikes whatever it strikes in an hour, right? You don't want to, you need to give buffer time, right?
Shoehorn in events on the calendar because it's crazy making. Yeah, otherwise.
Go ahead.
Plus, I come away feeling like I haven't really accomplished everything that was on the calendar, so therefore I didn't accomplish much.
Right. Right. So give yourself buffer time, and, you know, I know for me, I have a scheduling system, and it's taken a long time to get it right. But I block off time before and after sessions. Because I know, for me, going back to back doesn't work very well. I don't want to have, right? I don't want somebody to be able to book a session right after something else. And so, you know, you just build it in. Build it in. That's really the point I'm making. So you build it in, maybe even, I don't know, do you use Google Calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the colors.
I do too. It's building that time.
That's right. And protect it with your life. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anybody else? Well, I'm having a great time, I'll tell you, doing this. I'm so sorry that I'm such a techno, it's taking me a while to jumpstart this and having the first 10 minutes be so glitchy, but I'm getting there. But I will say that, you know, folks listening to the recording, you know, this is a great opportunity. You know, come on in if you can get here live. I know that a couple of you I've set up times, but I haven't gotten confirmations on our accountability partner intensives. So Kim and Sarah, I happen to have you on the line. Is that going to work for you? I think it was what was the date and time I had?
May 21st at 2.
Yeah, is that going to work for both of you?
It works for both.
All right, okay, good. Oh, that's right, I'm a doula. Okay, so actually, I don't need to babble about this here. I'll go offline and do that. So, I think we did it. I think we've come, we did what we needed to do, and actually, it's not bad for people not to have too long a recording to listen to. Without further ado... Oh, how are the check-ins going, too, for those who are still on the call? I don't know who's on the call still who has an accountability partner. Oh, Liam, are you still there? I don't know if...
Sorry, what was the question?
Yeah, are you getting together with your accountability partner?
We met once, but we haven't met since. And I'm having some family stuff, so I'm going to be gone for a few weeks. So I was going to contact you about it. Maybe you could partner up with her up with somebody else.
Ah, okay. All right. I will see what I can do about that. I'm glad you let me know. So, you know, just everybody out there is listening. Please communicate with me about what's going on, because the worst thing you can do is go away and pout and think things behind my back and decide that this isn't working for you. That's not fair. Not fair. Talk to me, okay? And we will make it happen. All right. So this was a lot of fun. I'm so excited you all came. And I will speak to you same time next week. I don't have it memorized, but there's some really good content coming up. So you'll want to tune in for that. One thing is something called the I model, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to intrigue you with that. The I model that I'm going to give you, which is hopefully going to really help you identify your creative strengths. So that's it for now. I think we're going to end the meeting, okay?
Thanks, Gretchen.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
yeah, you're welcome.